2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 simply says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." I'm going to preach a Mother's Day sermon today, and I was making preparations for it. I came across a poem and probably a song that I want to sing here in just a moment. This poem is by Herbert Farnham, and this is what it says. "God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of morning dew, the calm of a quiet sea, the beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, the grace of a bird in flight. Then God fashioned from these things a creation like no other. And when his masterpiece was through, he called it simply Mother." Moms, we honor you today. There's nobody more special than moms. It has been said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And everywhere you go, whenever you see somebody on TV, they've got a sign held up. It never says, "Hi, Dad." It says, "Hi, Mom." If he holds up a sign, it says, "Hi, Mom, tell Dad to send money." You know. When you get hurt, where do you run to? You don't run to Dad. All Dad's going to say is, "Oh, walk it off. Rub some dirt on it. It'll feel better when it quits hurting." But Mom, she'll kiss the boo-boo and make it better. She puts monkey blood on it, methylate, cure chrome, whatever you want to call it. And she tries to make you feel better. When you got a fever, you don't run to Daddy. You run to Mama. She kisses your forehead. And it's amazing that with her, those two lips or with her hand, she can tell if you've got a fever or not. Dad can kiss your forehead and he don't have a clue. But Mom knows. Mom can look at you and she's got a sense. You're sick. You don't feel good. She sees it in your eyes. Mom knows you better than anybody else on the face of the earth, including yourself. So moms are special. But I want to tell you, you can't rule out grandmothers. And this verse that we read, it talks about his grandmother first. I had some good grandmas. I had some good great grandparents. I appreciate them so much. And as I was thinking about today, I thought about a song that I sing it quite often. I may be on a tractor or just driving down the road, but it's entitled "Grandma's Rocking Chair." "I went to live with Grandma when I was just a kid. If someone ever needed someone, I was someone who did. She loved Grandpa and Jesus with plenty of love to share. And she told me all about it in her big old rocking chair. How I learned about Jesus in Grandma's rocking chair. And sometimes when I'm troubled, I wish that I was there. When she sang of his sweet love, I didn't have a care. And I learned about Jesus in my grandma's rocking chair. Oh, I used to love to hear her sing as she worked through the day. And each night at bedtime, I loved to hear my granny pray. She taught me all about heaven, waiting way up there. And I first felt the Spirit in Grandma's rocking chair. Oh, I learned about Jesus in my grandma's rocking chair. And sometimes when I'm troubled, I wish that I was there. When she sang of his sweet love, I didn't have a care. And I learned about Jesus in my grandma's rocking chair. Yes, I learned about Jesus in my grandma's rocking chair." You know, didn't learn about it so much from a rocking chair. But my great-granny would take you out into the front yard. And she would sit down in the chair. And when she could get us to sit still long enough, she'd take that big old Bible and she'd open it up and she'd tell us the stories of David and Goliath. And she'd read to us about Jonah and the big fish. And no matter what story, she would always tie it into Jesus. And she'd never stop until she'd say, "If you want to go to heaven, you have to trust the Lord." And folks, I would look at her and I'd say, Granny, I don't have to go to church in order to go to heaven. She said, you're right, son, you don't. But you do have to trust Jesus. She planted seed in a young man's heart, young boy's heart. It wouldn't come to fruit until years after she had passed from this life. But on that night in 1974, when I repented of my sin and I cried out to the Lord with a broken, repentant heart and trusted Him to save me, one of the first persons I thought of was her sharing those stories with me. And as I read about Timothy here, I don't know what kind of home life he had. But I know he had two women in his life that evidently cared deeply about him. He had a grandmother that taught the mom. I suspect in that economy, the grandmother also taught the grandson. And I feel like it was more than just Bible knowledge. Folks, there's a legacy here of sincere faith. Now, Mom, I want you to understand, it's Dad's job to be the priest of the family. Dad is to be the spiritual leader of the family. But I also happen to live in reality. And I know that in some families, dads don't take their responsibility as seriously as they should. They're not as good at telling kids about the Lord. They're not as good about sharing it as they should be. So when that happens, moms take over. And I thank God for moms. I thank God for those moms that will tell their kids about heaven and hell. That will tell them about Jesus. That will read the Bible to them. That will teach them. Now that's not to say that Dad doesn't teach them. He's just not as good about sitting down with them because dads are too busy. And moms are sitting there saying, and I'm not busy. That's the thing that makes you a mom. Even though you are so busy, you're as busy as a one-armed paper hanger, you still will take time to do the most important things. And raising children, that's your job. Dad, it's yours too. But we're not here to talk about dads today. We're here to talk about moms. So I want you to look at this. There was a foundation that was laid for a sincere faith. And you notice he says in verse 5, the unfeigned faith. That means sincere faith. Not fake. Not haphazard. This was a genuine, real faith. Listen to me. Genuine, real faith doesn't just result in salvation. Genuine, real faith results in a changed life. In a life that honors and glorifies God. Paul highlights his faith. And folks, let me say this. Even though his grandmother was a woman of faith and his mother was a woman of faith, that did not automatically guarantee that Timothy would be a man of faith. Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas can take you to church every Sunday night, every Wednesday, Bible school, revivals. They can always be talking about it at the supper table. They can live it in front of you. They can do everything they can to make it conducive for you to be saved and live a life of faith, and it still rests on your shoulders to make that choice. It's up to you whether you will follow their example. It's up to you whether you will accept Christ as your personal Savior or whether you will reject Him. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, godly parents, the kids don't turn out like the parents did. And that's heartbreaking. That will absolutely give you nightmares when you have a child that doesn't adhere to those teachings, that goes away from the Lord instead of going to Him. That's hard on God's people, basically mamas and daddies. But here's a young man that evidently listened to what they had to say. And a genuine faith, folks, is one that can be seen and not just heard. They didn't just tell him what the Bible says. Folks, this was like a hand-me-down faith. It was authentic. It wasn't hypocritical. It was real. It was genuine. And it had made a change in this young man's life. A hand-me-down faith, folks, Timothy's upbringing was in a home with a godly mother and a godly grandmother. That provided him with an extraordinary spiritual advantage. here's something that scares me. And I can't quote this because I don't have that good a memory anymore. But there's floating around out there this little saying, you know, if God was important, church was important to grandparents. But then mom and dad saw it as once a week, twice a week. And you go far enough down the line, and the kids will see it as unnecessary. It'll lose its allure. It'll lose its draw because the kids don't see it as important because mom and dad didn't see it as important. His grandmother and his mother saw their faith as important. And that gives him a spiritual advantage over others. There was a congruency with Lois and Eunice. They demonstrated this between their confession of faith and their lifestyle. They evidently lived what they did. It says, this faith dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. This was a living faith. This was a faith that they put into practice what they believed. Folks, faith is one of those things that you can't see unless you see the actions that it prompts. If I tell you I have faith, but I have no works or nothing that backs that up, that's a dead faith. If I tell you I've got faith, but I fall apart at the first sign of trouble, I don't have faith. Let me tell you what mamas do. Let me just tell you what my mama did. I'll go that way, because I'm sure not all mamas are the same. I had a bicycle wreck the beginning of summer of my 13th year. And it wasn't just a bicycle wreck, it was a wipeout major wreck. You could see my kneecap. You could see the bone here in my hand. Still had gravel in it. I managed to get my bicycle off the side of the road and I headed toward the house. And my buddies that were with me were really no help. They just run and told Mama that I'd had a wreck. And she and Dad come out of the house and Mom's right down there and amongst all the blood trying to figure out what's going on. And Dad's up there, white as a sheet. He managed to go get the first aid kit. That was it. But Moms are right there. I had about, let me back up and say this. Wives, sometimes your husband would like for you to mother him just a little bit. Not all the time, but some of the time. He don't want to have to run to mama for some TLC. He wants to run to you. But sometimes wives don't give the TLC that we need, so we run to mama. The wife says, I'm not going to kiss that boo-boo. The mama says, come here, baby. Let me take care of you. Y'all heard me tell this, and this is nothing against my wife. She takes care of me. When I had COVID, she made sure I got up every 2 hours and did deep bends and jumping jacks. And she made sure that I sat in a 45-degree position. She was not going to have me die, and she was not going to have me in a hospital. I got very little sleep for those week or two, but I didn't die and I didn't go to the hospital. She took care of me. But I had a bicycle wreck one day, 40 years old, 39. I walked in the house. She said, I thought you was going to the office. And I held up my hands and had strips of skin hanging off of blood dripping off. You know what she said? Don't you get that blood on my carpet. Y'all know what I did? I turned around, got in the car, and went up to my mama's. I come back looking like a mummy out of the Egyptian stuff. She had took care of her son. I understand where she's coming from because we lived in a parsonage, and some things you just got to take care of in a parsonage, and the floor was one of them. So I don't spite her for that. I tell it so that you'll giggle. But moms take care of you. Moms have a living faith. They believe. And folks, his mom did the same. Our children don't need perfect examples. Do you realize that? Mom, you're not perfect. My mother was not perfect. There's a long way from it. But guess what? She wasn't dealing with a perfect little boy either. She had a fig tree behind her house. And she's a little short woman. And she loved figs. Well, I do too. And I'd come out there to mow the yard, and I'd sit on the mower and get figs. And she'd come out of that house one day and holler, "Bobby Doyle Neal." And I knew I was in trouble because she used all three of my names. I stopped that mower and I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Those are my figs you're eating. You get off and get the ones I can't reach." That's pretty selfish, I thought. You know? Moms are not perfect. We don't need perfect moms. We need authentic moms. We need moms that to see how we handle failure. Mom, if you fail, it's not the end of the world. Just show your kid how to handle that failure. If husbands and wives get into an argument or a disagreement, they need to teach the kids how to handle that. And faith is a part of that. They need to see how to handle repentance. You do something and your kids saw you do it. They need to see us. They need to see a reliance on God. They don't need to see mom panicking. They need to see mom relying on God, trusting in God. Dad, they don't leave you out. They need to see you doing that too. If you see a storm coming and you panic, guess what that's going to teach the child? To panic. I can give you instance after instance, but I won't. They need to see us. They need to see us. Mom, they need to see you in a spirit of tranquility, trusting that God is going to take care of everything and get passing that on to your child. And I'm going to tell you this, it never hurts when God works in your life to point it out. Point it out. I'm not the mama, but I do that all the time. We may, you know, something happens at the farm and we, Victor and I'll look at it, we'll talk about it, and we'll both agree, God's got this. And then whenever he turns that dark cloud into sunshine, we both look at each other and I say, God took care of it. That's teaching faith. And I want my grandkids to see their grandmother and their grandfather living by faith so that when they get grown, they'll also have that reliance on God. But here's the thing, they passed the baton. That faith went from Lois to Eunice, to Timothy. Now, I'm going to go back and say what I said a while ago. Started off with Lois. She had it. It was up to Eunice whether she would accept it or not, and she did. Then it was up to Timothy whether he would accept it or not, and he did. Do you realize that a legacy is rarely accidental? Often it is passed down through intentional cultivation. In other words, this was a generational faith. Grandma had it, mama had it, and now grandson and son has it. That was an advantage that he had. He was living in a household of faith. Their faith lived or dwelled in them successively. We have a responsibility, and moms, you have a huge influence on your children, whether you know it or not. The little girls want to be like mama. The little boys want to be like daddy. But the boys, they want the TLC that mama has. But they're all, every kid that you've got, whether they're yours biologically, whether they're stepchildren or whether they are foster children, they are looking to you as an example of how to live. They're looking to you for them to show you faith. It's a living faith. And what these two women did impacted the life of Timothy. I've got the first Bible that I ever had. I don't remember how old I was. I wasn't 10. But I've got it at the house, and in the fly leaf where it's got that presented to stuff, it says, presented to Bobby Doyle Neal by Lily Power and Barbara Neal. You know who that is? That's my great-grandmother and my mama. You have an influence. Use it. Don't let your kids grow up and not know about Jesus. Don't let your kids grow up and not know about faith. Don't let your kids grow up thinking that there is no heaven and there is no hell and that this is all there is to life. Don't let your kids grow up thinking that church is optional. Let them know it's not optional. Don't let your kids grow up thinking that serving the Lord is optional. It's not. Make it mandatory. Teach them. The biggest way is to be an example. Don't sit at the house and say, y'all go to church. Get up and say, come on and let's go to church. Don't tell them this is what you should do. Show them what you should do. Be a great example to them. The power of teaching is seen in this. They taught Timothy the scripture from a young age, as noted in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. If you go over there and you look, here's what it says. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. It says from a young age. Who taught him? His grandma and his mother. You cannot go wrong by filling your child's head with Bible knowledge. When it gets here, it's forever there. It doesn't go away. And later the Holy Spirit can use that and bring it back to mind. But you got to teach them. And don't just teach them what the Word says. Live the Word in front of them. Because that's how you learn. You haven't really learned anything until you put it into practice. I am not a finesse fisherman. But I think I'm going to make it my goal to learn how to be a finesse fisherman. Y'all know what I mean by that? Victor is a finesse fisherman. By that I mean he knows he fishes with worms. There's a certain technique. Man, I like to fish with beetle spins. You throw it out and you reel it in. There's not a whole lot of technique. I like to fish with devil horses. You throw it out, you move it a little bit, you wiggle it, you pop it. But when it comes to worms, I have not got that down yet. He'll say, well, you'll feel this. I don't feel anything. If he don't hit it like a tank trying to pull it out of my hand, I don't feel it. So I think I'm going to try to learn it. But you know what? He can tell me all day long, Dad, this is how you fix it. This is where you throw it. This is what you're feeling for. This is how you work it. But until I actually start doing what he says, I haven't learned anything. So they didn't just teach him Bible knowledge. They showed him how to put the Bible knowledge into practice with the life that they were living. So the Word of God was his foundation. His mom and his grandmother made sure of that. Leaving a legacy requires consistently pointing those that we love toward Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I worry, and maybe that's the wrong word. I am concerned. I'm concerned. Oh, I got grandkids that I haven't seen but maybe four times in the last 15 years. I got great grandkids that I may never get to see. I worry about them. Are they going to be taught enough to know about Jesus? You know, I've got my grandkids that are here, and I'm doing my best. I want the parents to do their best. Grandma's doing her best. I'm still concerned about them. It's just the nature of it. So give them a good foundation. Give them something to build on instead of something that has to start. And then look at the impact very quickly. This was a fan into flame faith. A legacy of faith prepares the next generation to fulfill their calling. This was a godly heritage. Paul encourages Timothy to remember the heritage that he had. Remember where that faith came from. Started with your grandma, continued with your mother, continues on with you. Have strength, have courage, keep going forward. Fan the flames while others lay the foundation. Each individual must personally embrace the faith and fan it into flames, following the Lord for themselves. I can't follow the Lord for my grandson over here. He's about to go off to Florida. I'm going to have even less control over him there than I have here, which I have none now. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. But I'm telling you something, I've encouraged him. You get down there and you find a good church. And you go to church and you serve the Lord down there. Who knows? God may have you a wife down there just waiting on you. You don't know. See, I'm trying to get him to get married so I can have some more grandkids that I can worry about. You don't know. But I know this. He's had a good foundation. He's been taught. He knows what to do. He knows right from wrong. He knows what the Bible says. He knows what he's supposed to do. But I can't do it for him. He has to do it for himself. Nobody in my family could serve the Lord for me. Nobody in my family could be saved for me. Even Timothy, his granddaughter and his mother prayed for him and they taught him, but they could not trust Jesus for him. They did all that they could do. So Mom, here's where it boils down to. Are you doing all that you can do to point your kids to Jesus? To give them a good foundation on which to build? And Dad, I don't want to leave you out of this. You got your responsibility too. Are y'all helping each other do that? If not, you should be.